Good evening, everyone, brothers and sisters. Everyone eventually reaches a moment in life when they are faced with an unexpected hardship or a disappointment of some kind. And in that moment, there is a quiet but very powerful voice that always speaks to us, and it forms a question, and that question is it still worth following Jesus? Is it still worth it? Sometimes you hear that voice and that question arise when a prayer goes unanswered. Or maybe it's when a loved one fails you. Maybe it's when the truth challenges your life or your lifestyle. It might be when there's a conflict within the church and that conflict shakes your confidence and it shakes your comfort there. It might be a hardship that makes God feel very, very far away from you. But in that moment, we stand where the disciples stood in John chapter 6, choosing between walking away or pressing deeper. When we face problems, we're very, very tempted to run away, especially in this generation that tells us that, well, when we don't like something or something doesn't work out, we can just start anew all the time. If your marriage isn't working out, just start a new marriage. Just start a new family. If your job isn't working out, just get a new job. You know where I'm going with this. But have you ever run from a problem only to discover that every direction that you turn to and go is just not working out? Especially when it turns for the worse. Well, leaving Jesus works the exact same way. You run from a difficulty as a Christian only to discover that, well, the world cannot satisfy. Sin can't heal you or give you what you need. Pleasure can't give you or me any meaning. And at the end of the day, there is no philosopher or philosophy or a podcast host or celebrity or anyone in the world that can give us what Jesus gives us. Peter understood this. And so when Jesus asked in John chapter 6, "Will you also leave?" the apostles and Peter basically say, "Leave. Leave and go where? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to go to? Where am I going to go back to?" And so what Jesus has asked the 12 is probably one of the most important questions any disciple of any time will ever face. Do you also want to go away? And so Peter's answers is one of the greatest confessions you'll ever see in Scripture, arguably. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so before we get into the whole message, the idea of me sharing this with you is so we can see that when time gets hard, when time gets hard for you, where are you going to go? That's a question you have to ask yourself. And so let's look at a little context in John chapter 6 before we get into the main body, just so we can see why Jesus asks his disciples this and why Peter gives the answer that Peter gives. Well, if you start back at the beginning of John chapter 6, you can walk with me as I give some context. In the beginning of John chapter 6, you'll find that, well, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 people. Probably one of his most memorable and popular miracles of the time. 5,000 people fed. The crowd there, they're excited, they're energized, they even want to make him king in verses 15. And they even go as far to chase him across the sea to find him, to get more of this Jesus in verses 24 through 25. But their interest, you will find in him, was a shallow interest. They wanted bread, physical food, something to eat. They did not want the bread of life that Jesus was offering. And so they follow him for what he gave, not for who he was. And during this interaction with Jesus and the crowd and his disciples, he changes the focus from physical food to eternal truth. And suddenly that crowd that was super excited and chased him across the sea and was looking to get more Jesus, they're not so excited anymore. And so Jesus, and that happens because Jesus refused to be their miracle machine. And instead, he demands full discipleship from them. And in response, they grumble, they question, and they resist him. It's inside that exact moment that the disciples hear Jesus' hard words. So what was the hard saying that they were complaining about? Well, Jesus, what he was demanding here was a life-shaping surrender utterly to him. He said to his disciples must eat my flesh and drink my blood in verses 53 through 56. That what Jesus was saying was to take him in fully, not just rely on him to physically feed them and to give them their physical needs. It meant to depend on him completely, to let his life become their life, to accept him as the only source of eternal life. What that meant for them was there was to be no more casual following as they were doing. No more using Jesus just for physical blessings. No halfway discipleships. No following him on their own terms as they had been doing. That hard saying was a call to absolute consuming commitment to Christ. And they did not want that. So, and you might ask, well, why did the crowd seem so confused by this? That seems easy to understand. Well, it wasn't so confusing as it was hard to accept, as they said. The reason why it was so hard to accept is because they were still thinking physically and not spiritually. Jesus keeps trying to lift their minds from the physical things to the spiritual things. And they keep taking the spiritual things and dragging it right back to the physical. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And they said, well, give us bread like Moses did. If you don't know, they were referring to the bread that came from heaven, the manna that God fed them with. That was a physical bread. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, well, how can this man give me his flesh? They kept thinking physically. They were stuck on the physical meaning, unable and unwilling to grasp the spiritual metaphor of receiving him fully. The next thing that stopped them from accepting this hard saying was they followed Jesus just for the benefits, not for spiritual truth. Jesus says in verses 26, you seek me because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. So when Jesus calls them to something deeper, something more meaningful, something more important, they were confused because it wasn't what they came for. And lastly, they could not accept this hard saying because his words offended their expectations. They expected a political Messiah, a king to come and to deliver them from the hands of Rome. They expected an easy religion. They expected salvation without submission. But Jesus called them to look to a spiritual kingdom, not a political revolution. He called them to make sacrifices in their lives for him and to build a relationship with him. And in short, they wanted a miracle worker, not a master. They wanted bread, not the bread of life. They wanted benefits and not commitment. And they wanted a king who would change their circumstances, not a savior who would change their hearts. And so their response to Jesus after his teaching is, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? And as I said, it wasn't hard to understand, but it was hard to accept and hard to obey. And the tragedy that day was this, that many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What a tragedy. That was in verses 66. They stayed with Jesus when it was exciting and when it was beneficial, but when it got hard, when it got challenging, they said enough is enough, and they returned to their old lives. They walked with him only in the good moments, but turned back when the cost became more than they were willing to pay. They could have afforded it, though. They could afford it, but it was more than they were willing to pay. And so that leads us to Jesus talking to his disciples. He turns his focus from the core, his core followers, the 12 disciples, or he changed his attention, from the crowd to his core followers, the 12 disciples. And he asks them, will you two go away? Will you two also leave? Notice that with those that abandoned Jesus, Jesus did not, look at what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't chase them down. He didn't soften the message or change the message for them. He didn't negotiate with them. He didn't beg them to stay. Well, why is that? It is because discipleship must be chosen. It is an individual choice for everyone. It is an individual choice that we all have to make, not something that can be forced, and Jesus wasn't going to force it. And so Jesus' question is personal for us all. And so again, Jesus turns from the crowd, and he turns to the apostles, and he asks them, do you too want to leave? That question is so universal. It is a universal question. It is good. It's universal in time and in situation, for them and for us. You're going to see that question pop up in the back of your head, and when you're suffering, when you're tempted, when you face disappointment, when you face confusion, when you face correction, and maybe even in times when you're facing spiritual dryness. But what you will learn is that when you're following Jesus, it's not proven on the mountaintop. And what I mean is when you can see the valley and the trees and the sky and the lights and all the beauty of the sky and everything looks good and feels good, that's not the time that you're going to be proven as a true disciple. It's going to happen when you're down in the valley, when things are rough, when it seems that God is silent, when there are trials about and hard teachings that you have to adapt to and conform to. That's when you're going to find out who the true disciples are. And so Jesus has asked his questions to his disciples, who are you going to leave also? And Peter says, speaking for the apostles, Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter's answer reveals three powerful truths. Three powerful truths for that's true then and still true today. Point one is there is no one else to turn to. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There is no philosophy that can save us. There is no religion that can redeem us outside of Jesus. There is no sin that can bring satisfaction. There is no self-help book or someone offering self-help that can give us the hope and the peace that Jesus offers. And there is no worldly pleasure that is going to last. Walking away from Jesus will not solve the problem. It only multiplies it. The next thing that it proves is that only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Every other voice in whatever form that it might come, whether it be through the news, through another book, through a podcast speaker, through your family, whoever, wherever, those other voices, if they're not speaking what Jesus spoke, it's going to bring emptiness. It's going to bring confusion. It's going to bring sin and regret and then temporary pleasure that only ends in death. Jesus alone is the one that gives truth. John chapter 14, verses 6, he is the one that gives the truth. In John chapter 10, verses 10, he is the one that gives life. In John 11 and 25, he is the hope beyond the grave. And then in Matthew 11 and 28 tells us that he is the one that gives rest for the soul. And so the last thing that this proves is that for them, they believed and knew who Jesus was. And today we believe and can know who Jesus is. Peter says, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Peter was just like the other disciples. The other disciples had been with him too, but what was the difference between Peter's and the apostles' decision and the disciples? How did Peter reach that conviction? It didn't come instantly. It wasn't blind emotion. It was faith that was built upon something. And that was exposure to Jesus' words. It was walking with Jesus daily. It was seeing Jesus' character, and it was experiencing Jesus' faithfulness. In other words, Peter didn't stay because he understood everything. He stayed because he knew Jesus, and that's why we should stay too. We can rely on Jesus' characters and his words. True disciples stay not because following is easy, but because Christ is worth every hardship and every change that we have to go through. Excuse me. Because there is no better, no other alternative for us. There is no better road, there is no better Savior, and there is no other alternative. Jesus is the way. And so this evening I have just five things I want you to consider. Five things to consider today when you're faced with that question. To whom will you go? Where are you going to go? Just always remember, no matter what, choose to stay with Jesus just a little while. Choose to stay with Jesus. Stay a while. Stay a while. And so number one is when you face teachings that are hard to accept and obey, just choose to stay a while. Every disciple will eventually encounter a command of Christ that's going to cut deeply. It's going to cut to the bone. It's going to confront sin, and it's going to require sacrifice. You're going to have to make a choice, black and white, yes and no. For some, it's going to be forgiving someone that has hurt you. Well, that can be very hard when someone's betrayed you, especially if they're close to you. But you have to forgive if you want to be forgiven. That can be very hard. Loving your enemy is another hard part. Oh, that person that's just been mistreating me and bullying me day in and day out. Well, you have to show some love to them too. And we're going to have to learn to say no to ourselves. That can be very difficult. That's hard to accept, to say no to yourself. We're going to have to turn from lust, turn from pride, turn from bitterness, and turn from greed, as we're commanded in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. So staying with Jesus, it means obeying even when it's uncomfortable. He says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. John chapter 8, verses 31. And so obedience, it will always cost us something, but disobedience will cost us even more. And so here's a few simple things that when the teachings get hard to obey and accept, here's a couple simple things to consider and take in mind for yourself when you're facing these times. You can always pray and ask for prayers. We're a praying people. You can study and meditate on that passage deeper and longer. Don't just reject it because you don't like it or you don't understand it, but meditate on it, sit on it, think about it, reread it. Jesus says, and so did Moses, and Deuteronomy 8 and 3, and then Luke 4 and 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You cannot pick and choose what you want, but you must live on every single word of God. You can talk with a spiritually mature Christian. There's elders here. They're probably not as scary as you think. You can talk to them. You can rely on them to help you understand this and apply it to your life. When you're facing troubles that are teachings that's hard to obey, practice just obeying what you know, just one small step. When you have to forgive someone, it's hard to, someone that's been troubling you for 20 years, it's not realistic to instantly forgive them, though that's what we want to do. Maybe you just have to start out with asking God to help you forgive that person. And then the next step is asking God to help you speak to that person. And then maybe it's just sending them a good morning text. I hope you're doing well. I'm praying for us. I'm praying for you. One step at a time is better than no steps forward. And then lastly with that, don't try to negotiate with the verse. There is no what ifs and there is no loophole to find to get out of the commands of Jesus Christ. When you find disappointment in the church, just choose to stay a while. People are going to fail you. People will fail us, but Christ never will. Sometimes Christians bite and devour each other. It's unfortunate, but it happens. Sometimes we face disputes, misunderstandings, and we get our feelings hurt. And sometimes decisions are made that we disagree with. And sometimes we expect more from people than they are able to give. But leaving Christ because a Christian disappoints you is like leaving a hospital because a patient is sick. It just don't make any sense. And so a few simple things that you can take to action to help you get past when you're disappointed by the church is, well, you can pray and ask for prayers. That came up again. That's wonderful. You can separate Christ from Christians. And what I mean by that is remind yourself at the end of the day, it's not Jesus who failed you, but it was the people that failed you. Jesus is true and just. Have one honest conversation with that person instead of jumping to conclusions. You never know, it could just be a misunderstanding and everything can be good as gold. You can pray for the person who hurt you. And you can always choose to serve anyway instead of running away. Don't let someone's failure become your excuse to stop serving Jesus. And then lastly with that, you stay rooted in worship. Don't withdraw from the body because you're wounded. Wounds heal. Scars don't heal, that's what they say, but scars, they leave a reminder for you on how to do better the next time. Next, when you face suffering and it shakes your focus and it shakes your confidence, just choose to stay a while. Choose to stay a while instead of running away. Hardships are going to come. We're going to face sickness, financial hardship, family conflict, loneliness, doubt, grief, and persecution. No doubt. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." Peter goes on and says, "But if you're going to suffer as a Christian, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." And Paul reminds us that our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17. Suffering is not a sign that God abandoned us. It is the path by which He strengthens us. Stay with Christ in suffering, because nowhere and no one else can bring the hope that He brings. And so a few simple things that you can do when you want to leave is pray and ask for prayers. Pray with someone and have others pray for you. Keep moving forward. Don't return to the comfort of the other life. That's what we want to do when things are uncomfortable. Oh, that old way is a lot. Egypt was a lot more comfortable. No, it wasn't. Anchor your mind with a verse or passage that's relatable to your struggle. Just memorize a couple verses or a couple words and say it to yourself throughout the day. Oh, keep your head straight. And then look back on past victories. David, before he faced Goliath, he said, look, God has helped me conquer the bear and He's helped me conquer the lion. What is this giant to me? I'm paraphrasing, but that's what David did. And he took on the giant. Next, when temptation calls to us with an easy alternative that compromises Jesus' standards, just choose to stay a while with Jesus. The world will always offer us shortcuts. Oh, it loves to offer those shortcuts. You can get that pleasure without any kind of purity. You can get comfort without commitment, religion without repentance, faith without submission, and Jesus without a cross. But Scripture warns us that no one can serve two masters, because you'll love the one and hate the other. James tells us that friendship with the world is an enmity with God. You can't rightfully be the Son of God and the enemy of God at the same time. That makes no sense. And then Paul will tell us in Romans 13 and 14 to make no provision for the flesh. Sorry, sin, it only gives temporarily and brings certain death. But what Jesus gives is eternal. So stay a while. Hang out. And a few simple things that you can do is, you guessed it, pray and ask for prayers. We're a praying people. You can remove immediate access to those temptations. If it's in the form of an app or your phone, well, delete it, sell it, throw it away. If you got to, it's worth it. Block that site. Remove the contact from that person. Avoid that place. If it's drinking that you're having issue with, maybe instead of driving on that highway and looking at it every day, you just take a whole other path to work. That's just an example. Replace the moment of temptation with something more righteous. You can go on a walk. You're sitting there struggling at home with temptation. Get up and leave. Just leave. Read a chapter or a verse instead. Go to prayer or get with a fellow Christian. Brother, I am struggling right now with temptation. I just need someone to get my mind off of my struggles. Go hang out with your brother and sister and let them help you. And lastly, and then I'll be closing, when doubts arises, or you don't understand everything and you're facing uncertainty, just choose to stay a while. Stay with Jesus. Even strong believers wrestle with doubt. Those apostles, we love to put them on pedestals, but if you look during that gospel, they were some struggling individuals just like us, but they chose to stay a while. Thomas, after Jesus had come back, he didn't want to believe Jesus had returned. He doubted. We call him Doubting Thomas sometimes. But he chose to stay a while. The solution to doubt is not running away, it's drawing closer. If you recall in Mark chapter 9, verses 24, there's a father of a demon-possessed boy who wanted Jesus to heal him. And Jesus says, if you believe, I can do anything. And the father cries out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That seems like a paradox, but what that is he had faith and trust, but he needed more faith and trust. And so he had sincere faith mixed with weakness, you could say. He had a heart that wanted to trust Jesus, but he felt overwhelmed, you could say. And Jesus promises to us in Matthew 7:7 that if you ask, it will be given to you. And in verses 8, he says, he who seeks finds. And in John 7:17, he says, if anyone wills to do his will, the Father's will, he shall know. We can get understanding if we don't have understanding. And even when we lack understanding, Jesus calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. We are told to walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7, the disciples rarely understood Jesus at first, as I said. They stayed, though, and understanding came later. We don't have to understand everything to trust the one who understands all things. When doubt rises, just choose to stay a while. Pray, seek, and God will strengthen your faith. So stay a while. So a couple actions you can take to help you stay a while when you don't have understanding is, you guessed it, You can pray and ask for prayers. You can talk with a spiritually mature Christian, your elders. You can search the scriptures for answers. Don't rely on that social media and what that person down the road says or what the other person says. It's good to get wisdom from some people, but go to the scriptures. Stop feeding your doubts. Avoid skeptical videos, podcasts, or content that only undermines your faith. Stay close to worship and communion and fellowship. Don't leave. Stay a while, because clarity can grow in the presence of God. And obey the parts that you do understand. When you're obedient where you can be obedient, clarity can often come after obedience, certainly not before. And so in conclusion, closing, everything in John chapter 6 leads to one life-defining moment. It led it for them and it leads to us today. Jesus had asked them, "Do you also want to go away?" And so when the miracles had stopped and when the crowd had left and when the teaching offended them and when the truth challenged, only the true disciples remained. And Peter gives the only reasonable answer a faithful heart can give. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Today, Jesus is asking you the same question, and he's going to ask you that every single day and every time you're faced with a hardship. To whom shall you go? Will you walk away when the journey gets hard? Will you turn back when truth confronts your desires? Will you follow only when Christianity feels easy? Or will you stay a while because Christ alone gives life? There truly is nowhere else to go. There truly is no one else worth following. Stay with Christ, cling to Christ, follow Christ, because he and he alone have the words of eternal life. If you're a Christian on this evening, and maybe you realize that you have been not staying a while, I encourage you to stay a while. You already know what you need to do. You've got to repent. Just repent and cling to Jesus. If you're not a Christian and you want to know, if you're not a Christian, you want to know what you got to do so Jesus can be your Savior and you can have that peace and that eternal life that he offers. Well, you've heard it tonight. Jesus demands that you fully surrender yourself to him and you stay a while with him while he helps you grow. That's that hearing and that's believing. And so if you want Jesus to be your Savior tonight, then I hope that you will come forward and we can help you and teach you everything else that you need to know. But I just encourage you all, choose Jesus and stay a while. If there's anything that we can do for you, please stand and come forward as we sing the song of invitation.